For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. Now, this utterance of Elizabeth, inspired by the Spirit of God, causes a reaction in the heart of Mary. And this is the Magnificat, just this much. Magnificat is the Latin for the word magnify. My soul doth magnify the Lord. In the Latin, it is Magnificat, but it's the same thing. Like the Nunc Dimittis, they are just Latin words for these things that we're reading now. So, if someone says, do you know anything about the Magnificat? You can say, I know all about it. And then you can start reading it in Luke 1, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is unto generations and generations on them that fear him. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down princes from their thrones, and hath exalted them of low degree. The hungry hath he filled with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath given help to Israel, his servant, that he might remember mercy, as he spake unto our fathers, toward Abraham and his seed forever. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that the Old Testament has the greatest claim upon psalms and songs, but we are not devoid of them in the New Testament. We are thankful for the song of Simeon, of Zacharias, of Elizabeth, of Anna, of Mary. We are thankful, our Father, for all the songs that they sing in heaven about thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are glad that you sung songs about him. We are glad, our Father, that the best thing is that we have believed those songs. We remember that strange verse, and we have believed the record that God has given concerning his Son. Who could deny such a record? But our Father, we have believed, and we confess him as Lord and Savior and Christ. And we desire to learn a little bit about him from what his mother uttered this night in this Magnificat. So by thy Spirit, illumine us and teach us and help us also, as all of these are those who know how to praise thee and thank thee and glorify thee. May we in turn be able to do so as well. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Whenever I speak to you, whether you know it or not, I try to give a relationship between the messages, and all of this started because of Anna, the prophetess. And because of that, I was going to tell you about the other prophetesses in the Bible. I haven't been able to get around them. But in the Old Testament, we have quite a number, and I may tell you about them in a coming week. But what we have read from Elizabeth and what we have read from Mary are also prophetical utterances. But what you must understand is this. If a person utters one prophetical utterance, it does not make that person a prophet or a prophetess. Understand that. Here's what some people fail to grasp. They think that if a person one time prophesies, that they are a prophet. No, it was something exceptional in their case. If I had gotten up and preached one message, and that's all I had ever preached, you would never say, why, this man is a preacher. You would say, I heard him preach once, but no, he's not a preacher. But in the case of Anna, she was a prophetess her whole life long. Deborah was a prophetess in the Old Testament. Miriam was a prophetess in the Old Testament. Now, Anna was a prophetess. Mary was not a prophetess. However, Anna, who was a prophetess, we do not have any record of her prophecies. But Mary, who was not a prophetess, who gave a prophecy, God has given this wonderful recording of the utterance that went forth from her lips. And sometime I'll tell you in detail the significance of prophecies. Because basically it's this. Prayer is Godward and prophecy is manward. But sometimes prophecy as well as prayer is Godward. But I can't get into that now. But do understand that here is a prophecy, because a prophecy is the making known the mind of God. And some prophecies make known the mind of God for the immediate future, and some prophecies make known the mind of God for the distant future. But a prophecy is simply the making known of the mind of God. And this is what Mary is doing. Now, another thing. It says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she speaks a few words, praising the Lord Jesus, telling about the faith that was in the heart of Mary. And may I tell you this, her name is really not Mary, it's Maria. But it's translated Mary, but it's Maria in the Greek. So here is a little bit that Elizabeth says, and it says she was filled with the Holy Spirit, but it is evident that when Mary spoke, starting at verse 46, that she was under the inspiration of the Spirit as well. You say, well, why doesn't it mention that? Think for a moment. If anyone ever had the Spirit of God in them, this person was Mary. It said concerning the birth of our Savior, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also, that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. This holy thing conceived of the Holy Spirit of God is in the womb of Mary. And therefore, yes, the Spirit of God is behind her and her utterance. Now, here is something that is so remarkable. If we had abundance of time, and if all of you had the patience and the training that we men do at the Saturday morning time, I would go through every verse in this Magnificat, in this praise, this ascription of praise to God that is in Luke, and I would show you where all these concepts are found in the Old Testament. The Savior said in Matthew 13 that every scribe that hath been made a disciple of the kingdom of God is like unto an householder that brings out of his treasure things new and old. But I can show you that everything that was spoken by Mary was something brought out of the old treasury. That someone had said these things before, that someone had thought these things before, but now, in a different context, Mary takes those words and she makes them her own and then arranges them as the Spirit of God guided her, and what we have is this Magnificat from verse 46 to verse 55. Now that's most important. I want you to understand this, that some people, in trying to impress others, think up novel, startling, strange ways of expressing the truth of God, and they speak those words to people, and some people are impressed. But the very best words to use in praising and worshiping God are the words that some inspired servant of God spoke before. You say, why is that? Well, the words that I speak may or may not be inspired. They may not be well-chosen words. But when it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and therefore in the Psalms what David said and what Asaph said and what Haman and what Ezra and what all of these inspired writers of the Psalms said are words that are guided by the Spirit of God. Holy men spake of old as they were moved, guided by the Holy Spirit. And having said that, I'm going to give you an encouragement and tell you why, in contrast to Mary, you are not able to praise God as you should. And when you do praise God, you do not praise Him as excellently as you could. Do you know why? Think of what Mary has said in these verses. They are things that she spoke spontaneously, and here is a manifestation of no less than six of the attributes of God. And I told you that the things that Mary speaks here, all of them are found in the Old Testament. Now, why do you think Mary was able, without taking a Bible and turning to this book and that book and another book and saying, wait, I'm going to... Why do you think she was able to utter these words? For the same reason that the Lord Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, said, it is written, and then he quoted the word of God. You understand? The reason that Mary was able to give this ascription of praise to God is because thy word have I hid in my heart, and she had treasured up the word of God, and she was similar to Timothy, because Paul says this about Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. From a child, Timothy had known the holy scriptures. Now, when I was a little boy, we were taught our Father which art in heaven, and other simple things like, the Lord is my shepherd. But if as a child I had been catechized and I had been instructed by a mother like Eunice, the mother of Timothy, and as Lois, his grandmother, instructed Eunice, his mother, then I would have been able to quote portions of Scripture like this. But at times, when I said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our what? No, it's debt. You see? But man had made it trespasses. And so, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, those that from a child had been made to memorize the Bible, if you had said trespasses, that little child would say, Daddy, it doesn't say trespasses, it says debtors. You would say, well, yes, yes, that's the way it is. And so you look through these things. So what you do is as a child, you commit the Word of God to your heart. And think of this now. Think if you saw to it that your child just learned one verse of Scripture a week. In a year's time, you have over 50 verses of Scripture. And that child continues that for the next 10 years You say, why, that's 500 verses of Scripture. And how did you build it up? Teaching my child to memorize one verse of Scripture a week. Now, is that too great an undertaking? You say, no. Well, we shall see next Christmas at this time if your child is able to come and quote to me 50 verses of Scripture. And what will put them in good standing in the future is this. If they are tempted by Satan, the Spirit of God can bring to their remembrance. Now tell me, how can anybody bring to your remembrance what you've never known? You say, you can't bring to your remembrance. You could give a revelation of something you've never known. But the Lord Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would bring to your remembrance all that I've spoken unto you. You say, then they had heard it, and it was in their minds, and the Spirit of God would bring to their remembrance the things that were spoken. And that is precisely what God says the parents are to do for their children. It said that you are to speak the Word of God when you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk by the way. If you constantly have conversations about the Bible and discussions about the Bible with your child, then the child will not feel out of place when, in a future day, as at present, he hears men discussing the Word of God, seeking to find an interpretation. It's something he's been familiar with. How long? Since the time I was a child. From a child I was known the Holy Scriptures. And this is what is so commendable about Mary, that all of these verses of Scripture that have been uttered by Hannah and by the psalmist, by Isaiah, all of these things have been committed to her memory. And then, as the case presented herself, and as the circumstances fitted her case, she uttered these verses spontaneously. Now, this is the reason that you are not able to worship as you should, and not able to express that worship that you want to give as you should. You do not know the words of worship, and yet, I'm thinking this. I remember one time, and did it get me in hot water? There was this difficult teaching in mathematics, and we had to have the answers. And I found the answer book in the room on the teacher's desk, and here I was looking at that answer book, and with no trouble at all, I had all the answers. And so the teacher said, let's have that book back. Now, what God has done is this. Lord, what I want to do, I want to be a worshiper, and I want to know the very words with which to worship you. God doesn't take this back. He says, here, take this book. Never does he take it back. And so the reason that you do not worship and do not have the right words of worship is because you haven't done what Mary did. You see, you can hide these words in your heart. And that is another thing that is so commendable about knowing the Word of God, that when anyone speaks a truth, just as I was speaking to a Hungarian the other day, and he spoke some of the philosophy that he believed, I said, did you know that you're telling me exactly what is in the Bible? It's in the Bible, and I read it to him. He said, what do you know about that? And whenever a person says something that's not in the Bible, I will tell them that is not in the Bible either as well. You can tell them it is in the Bible or it's not in the Bible. And then when temptations come, the Spirit of God is able to bring to your remembrance the Scriptures as the Savior used them against Satan. So take this to heart, that Mary had hidden all of these Old Testament portions and concepts in her heart. And the words are so beautiful. Listen to this. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, what I will do is to just give you a rundown of the attributes that she brings out. Let me show you this briefly. Look. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. It says, for he hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. That's the grace of God. Why? She said, I am nothing but a handmaid. I am of a low estate, and yet you have chosen me, and you have elevated me, and I who am unknown. In coming generation after generation, people will call me blessed. That's the grace of God. That's the first thing that she celebrated, the grace of God. Now, look at this. Look at verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. This is the omnipotence of God, the power of God. Look, this is what she's thinking about. I told you that when Gabriel spoke to her, he said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Here is the same root word. It says, the Mighty One, the Powerful One, hath done great things to me. What has he done? He has miraculously caused the Lord Jesus Christ to be consumed or conceived in her womb, and here she is acknowledging the omnipotence of God. At first, when the angel told her, she said, how can I have a child? I do not have a husband. And then Gabriel told her, and here is the omnipotent, miracle-working God, and he causes the Lord Jesus to be conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. And so now she's talking about the omnipotence of God. And look how she ends it, and she says, holy is his name. You say, why? That's the holiness of God. Yes. And look at verse 50. And his mercy is unto generations and generations. You say, well, that one isn't hard. This is the mercy of God. Why, of course. And then, please notice all of these tyrants. Look at these rulers that are entirely out of place, and the justice of God lays hold on them, and it takes the tyrant and these wicked rulers, and it takes them off from their throne. And this, look also about the mercy of God. Not only the mercy of God, but the faithfulness of God. It says, verse 54, he hath given help to Israel his servant, that he might remember mercy. Would you not think that Israel, who last was spoken to directly by God in the book of Malachi, that after 400 years they had waited and the Messiah had not come, would you not think that they had been forgotten? You would say yes. Would you not think that God's faithfulness had been clean cut off? You say yes. But now Mary understands that his faithfulness has not been cut off, but it speaks of that faithfulness toward Abraham and his seed forever. Now, this is what Mary does, and it is so remarkable. She thinks of the grace of God. She thinks of the omnipotence of God. She thinks of the holiness of God. She thinks of the mercy of God. She thinks of the justice of God. She thinks of the faithfulness of God. Glorious concepts. And then they are so beautifully expressed that you would not think of them that way, but you go through and say, why, yes, that's what she's talking about. And then, concerning how all of these attributes of God are related to her, she comes forth with this expression of praise. So, child of God, you need be deficient no more. If you want to praise God, then go and read from the Psalms. Read from Isaiah. Read from the various parts of the Old Testament, the ones that did praise God. And if you're thinking about the goodness of God, if you're thinking about the mercy of God, if you're thinking about the blessings of God, you say, I want to tell God about his blessings. Let me see, how will I go about it? All you have to do is to turn to Psalm 103. Listen, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, you can't beat that, because it's not mine. It is David's, and I took these inspired blessings that one uttered, and I brought them into my mouth, and I uttered them. And if I can do it, you can do it. And so if you want to think of the blessings of God, or he forgiveth all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, you see? And this is what Mary has done. She thought of all these glorious things spoken of God in the Old Testament, and having committed them to memory, the Spirit of God inspired her to utter them in the order that she gave them, the way that they were related to her. And now, this is Mary's song. I may sometime have a brother to come up, and while I read one verse here, I'll have him to read a verse in the Old Testament. He'll say, that's where she got it. And another verse, why, that's where she got it. And then you will see just how we bring into existence a new psalm out of pre-existing materials. Now, some things are not in the Old Testament. You see, there are New Testament mysteries, and these are the mysteries of the apostles and prophets. The apostle Paul tells us, behold, I show you a mystery. And then he tells us things that no one had ever known before. And this is an entirely different thing. But in the case of Mary, it is not a new thing. It is an old thing that's uttered in her own words. So let us have that practice, and let us not be deficient anymore. Now, there's much more, and in the will of God, I'll tell you about it later. But let's close in prayer now. Our Father, we are thankful that you would encourage us to worship thee. And yet, if one said, how can I worship thee? You have given us an entire word of God that we might know how to worship thee. And thou hast said, thy word have I hidden in my heart. So would you cause us, Father, to discipline ourselves and to make the word of God our own, and then be able to resist the devil, and then be able to worship thee as we should. And our Father, to know that the words are the words that are pleasing to thee. We remember what the psalmist said, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And our Father, we know that if we use thy words, then the word shall be acceptable in thy sight. So help us not to be deficient anymore, but let us be as Mary, filled with praise and rejoicing and the desire to magnify the Lord God because of his grace and his mercy and his goodness toward us and the possibility for all mankind. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.